If you are able, I would invite you to stand as we hear these words for us today from the Gospel of Mark. John, Jesus' disciple, said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better if you had a great millstone that were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, we are grateful. For all of your words, O God, that we've heard this day, we pray that they might take root within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. And now, O God, give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort from the activities of our daily lives and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. Of course, I always wonder how those who take the Scriptures literally word for word deal with this passage, because I've yet to see anyone with a hand missing, an eye missing, and a foot cut off. But Jesus shares with us the seriousness of sin. Those are some of the difficult lines. The easy lines are, someone gives you a cup of water in my name, and Tex Evans started the whole Appalachia Service Project ministry based upon giving someone a cup of cold water and making sure that homes were warmer, safer, and drier, very much like the ministry that this church does when we go to Philippi. This was the passage I was going to preach on, but this has been one of those weeks where, well, Tuesday I had an all-day seminar, Wednesday I had a funeral, Friday I had an all-day seminar, and Saturday I had an all-day seminar. And in the midst of yesterday's seminar, as Dr. Stephen Toole from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary was teaching, I thought, I think the sermon's going to get changed. And so I got back to my office at 4 yesterday afternoon and had a service at 6 last evening. So we'll see how this goes. How many of you have watched anything this past week concerning Pope Francis? Anybody watch the program last night dealing with families from around the world? I don't know about you, but I prayed for the Pope as he sat through that. Ugh. And I don't know about you, if you like Aretha Franklin, okay, but she sung last night, and I'm sorry, but she butchered Amazing Grace. Oh, I didn't realize somebody could make the first verse of Amazing Grace last 10 minutes. It was painful. It was. And I don't know, but if I were asked to sing in the presence of the Pope, when others were done singing and speaking, they turned and they were graced to be able to go into the Pope's presence and to receive a blessing and a gift. Aretha Franklin, I worked on something else. I had to quit. Leanna says she just walked off. Well, the Pope has stirred some information in the life of the churches. To be able to have that one individual that stands for Christ, that stands for the church around the whole world. I understand I didn't see when he addressed Congress. I might have to rewatch or find that. I'm sure it's on YouTube. But I understand that as he spoke before Congress, he addressed some of these issues. Climate change, abolishing the death penalty, abortion, same-sex marriage, Iran and Cuba, the refugee crisis, immigration, poverty, the arms trade, religious fundamentalism. And we all know that he made some life-changing, stirring decisions. Well, some individuals did after they had stood and sat in the Pope's presence. Yesterday, Dr. Stephen Toole said that when he was looking over some information, that he came upon a columnist who said, in essence, "I wish the Pope would only stick to biblical things." What are our biblical things to stick to? What are we as Christians to be about? Are we to be about the stewardship of the whole world? Did not God say to be good stewards of it? Does not God challenge us to have our fingers in a little bit of everything around the world? Some of the one-liners I picked up from Pope Francis. "You pray for the hungry, and then you feed them. That is how prayer works." How often do we want to pray and then sit back and do nothing? Pope Francis also said, "To change the world, we must be good to those who cannot repay us." I think Jesus said the same thing in some of his parables. I love this one, though. "God is not afraid of new things." As I was reflecting on the Pope, I thought, 70-some years ago, he was born just like you and me. And his mom would have received him in a blanket, counted 10 fingers and 10 toes, should have fed him, changed his diaper, cared for him, nurtured him, raised him up in the life of the church. And probably she was beaming when he felt God's call upon his life and he entered the priesthood. But little did she know, or probably little did he know, that he would be voted upon someday to be the leader, the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Never dreaming that he would hold such a power of a position of power and influence and spiritual influence on the lives of so many millions of people. But folks, you and I are called into the ministry as well. We have in the United Methodist Church what we refer to as the ministry of all believers. It's not a comment of when God calls you, it's a matter of when God calls you. And when God calls us, we are equipped with gifts and tools from God's Holy Spirit to enable us to do what God calls us to do. If we flip into Judges, the fourth chapter, Israel has been led out of slavery from the land of Egypt for some 500 years. They've wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, and they have arrived into the promised land. And they're still doing that cyclical thing that they tend to do from faithfulness and obedience, where they cannot be overthrown and they are an absolute world power, and then they become trusting in themselves and they get overthrown. And then a judge would arise and they would have peaceful time, and they would continue that cycle over and over again of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, very much like we do today if we would write a cycle and a journal of our own days. But chapter 4 in Judges, we read these words: at this time, the prophetess Deborah was judging Israel. She used to sit under a palm tree. And she sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinadab. And she said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands. Go, march on Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 Naphtalites and Zebulunites. I will lead Sisera, the general of the enemy's army, out to you at the Wadi Kishon. And together with his chariots and troops, and I will deliver them into your power." Now, it's fascinating in this time period that a woman was being used to tell the men and the generals of the army what to do, but they had a sense of trust. But Barak, he wanted to know that she was on board with this plan, and he said to her, "If you come with me, I will go. But if you don't come with me, I'm not going." And Deborah says, "I will certainly go with you. But you need to know that the glory of this victory now, because you doubted my presence, is not going to you, but the victory of this battle is going to go to to another woman." I'll let you read the rest of the story, how that happens. But Deborah is joined by the commander, and indeed the enemy's army is overthrown, and there is an experiencing of 40 years of peace because she listened to the word of God. If we flip over to the book of Isaiah, to the calling of the prophet of Isaiah in the sixth chapter, we read these words: that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and just the hem of his robe filled the temple. And seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, two they covered their bodies, and with two they flew. And one called to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I must be lost. I'm in a place where I should not be. I am a man of unclean lips. I'm living among people of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to Isaiah with a set of tongs and a hot coal and touched his lips, his mouth, and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt is gone and your sin has been blotted out and forgotten." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And so I said, "Well, here I am, send me." And God said, "Go and say this to the people." The prophet Jeremiah was sent to bear sometimes good words and sometimes words that just were not well received. But Jeremiah was faithful to the calling that God had upon his life. The first chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I anointed you a prophet to the nations," plural. "And then I said, ah, Lord God, truly, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And even though Jeremiah felt that he was a young boy relative to the calling of Almighty God, God said, "I am with you, I go with you, and I will deliver you as you go as a prophet, speaking words of peace and condemnation to the nations." And then we have the calling of Ezekiel. Again, the first chapter. Hold on to your seats. "As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same form, their construction being something like a wheel within a wheel. And when they moved in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. Their rims were tall and awesome, for the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And then they moved, the others moved, and when they stopped, the others stopped. And when they rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." Everybody have a clear picture? Stephen Toole yesterday said that he's had conversations with people in the past, and people will say, "Just what do you think Ezekiel was smoking?" But he said the essence of this passage is, if you remember in Israelite history, that the belief was that gods, small letter G, were gods of geographical locations. And then comes along Yahweh, capital G. But even for the Israelite nation, their belief is that God was contained in the ark. And when the ark was with them, they were invincible. But when the ark was gone and removed, well, the presence of God was removed. And they were learning that God is everywhere. And this vision that Ezekiel was having with the throne of God on wheels meant that the throne of God moved wherever it wanted to. That the throne of God indeed is with us every single day. What does it mean as we have our calling from God and are gifted with mission and ministry? Stephen Toole started the morning session yesterday by sharing a little clip, at least for us visually, from the movie Jaws. You remember that movie when Captain Brody is out on the orca with the captain of the ship. I don't remember his name, the captain of the boat. And they're out there at sea, and Brody is chumming. And as he's chumming, and I think there's some conversation going on between the captain and the sergeant, and suddenly the sergeant realizes he is face to face with this huge, huge shark named Jaws. That big bullet-shaped head, those coal black eyes, that huge mouth opened with row after row after row of huge, incredibly sharp teeth. And Sergeant Brody stumbles and finds his way into the cabin and says to the captain, "We need a bigger boat." Our challenge is that as God calls us and as God equips us, that we will need a bigger boat. That as we go into the world, we might be reformers. That we might be concerned about God's creation. To be faithful to our calling. To be a part of that team of disciples, that team of servants of Jesus Christ in the world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your calling and claim upon our lives and the lives of people around the world. Continue, O God, to bless us and anoint us. Continue to empower us with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. O God, may we know that when we go, that we are never alone, and that you are already there preparing the way. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is found in the little black book, Faith We Sing, number 2149, Living for Jesus.